case, which is Coffey versus Northeast Illinois Region. Mr. Foley, Regional Railroad, Metro.
Morning, Justices.
Judges. This is not the Illinois Appellate Court.
I'm not sorry. Even
in the same building.
Correct. I'd like to touch on a few issues where I believe the district court aired.
Is there a picture in the record of this cab so we could see where the light switch is and the visor and all that?
There is not, Your Honor.
Wouldn't that make it a lot easier to figure this case out?
I'm sorry, it wasn't included.
No, finish answering Judge Posner. He said, wouldn't it make it a lot easier if we could see
it? I imagine it would make it a lot easier, but there's a description in there in the record, both in the deposition testimony of the plaintiff and I believe in the deposition testimony of the chief mechanical officer, Richard Suk, above the location. They describe the location of the light switch as being between 2.5 and 3 feet off the ground to the left of the engineer's seat, the third switch in.
But it's very difficult for us to get, even though we know those measurements, a real visual picture of how tight it was in there, how the visor swung, or, you know, so a photo would be very helpful.
I understand.
I have another question, too. What damages did Coffey suffer?
Coffey suffered from cervical strain, headaches, and he continues to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. He has not returned to work.
Okay, and he's not working at all. I know he's not working at the.
He's no longer working at Metro.
Does he have any employment right now?
He's enrolled in Bible school at this point, with the intent of becoming a minister.
What is this visor made out of?
The visor is made of metal, Your Honor. Black
metal. What metal?
Pardon me.
What kind of metal?
I have no idea what kind of metal, Your Honor. It was painted black, and it was made of metal, and it had a thin protective strip around the edge.
How heavy was it?
It was never taken off and measured, Your Honor. It was hinged on either end, and unlike a car visor that moves to the side and up and down, this visor only went up and down and was fastened to the cab itself with two bolts.
Seems so odd you get a serious injury just from bumping your head against a visor.
The district court held that there was no negligence on the part of Metra. An FELA plaintiff need only prove that the employer's negligence played a part, even the slightest part, in his injury. In this particular case, as we've discussed briefly, Mr. Coffey was stepping inside the cab at about 5:13 a.m. in the morning. It was dark. There was no other lights. He was attempting to turn the light on in the cab car of this locomotive. And as he stepped in and had a hunch forward to get in to try to hit the light switch, he hit his head on this visor that was basically at a 90-degree angle. It had no reason to be at a 90-degree angle. It served no purpose at a 90-degree angle. Mr. Coffey was knocked down into his seat. He was stunned. After he regained his composure, he was able to push the visor up, and he noted that it went up very easily. Mr. Coffey had made, he testified to in his deposition, a couple of prior complaints to Metro Mechanical about visors, that visors needed to be tightened. He effectively put them on notice that visors occasionally work their way loose. Metra, in the support of their summary judgment, attached an affidavit of their chief mechanical officer, Richard Sukup. And Mr. Sukup testified through affidavit and also in his deposition that he had no...
When was the last time someone had been in the cab?
Someone had been in the cab the evening before when...
I mean driving.
The evening before, Your Honor. He entered that cab at about 5:13 a.m., and the last run probably brought that train into the station at about midnight. Now, when that train came into the station, Metro operates on a push-pull.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm asking you, when is the last time the cab was used?
The last time the cab would have been used probably would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the prior day, on the 20th of June, 2001.
And when that person, whoever was driving it at 3 p.m., when he left the cab, what was the position of the visor?
We don't know, Your Honor.
Well, why didn't you ask him?
We
don't seem to have done any fact development here.
Well, we didn't know who the engineer was on that.
Well, you can find out, right?
I imagine we could have found out.
Well, yeah.
The issue is the locomotive, the train would have been operated. The last time it would have been operated would have been in a pull move where the engineer would have been.
That's why I asked you, when was the last time someone was in the cab?
At approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, but look, he's only in the cab if he's driving it.
Correct. The train.
The last time it was driven from the cab was, you say, at 3 p.m. Not being pulled, right?
Correct.
Now, that person, what position, why didn't you find out what position that person left the visor in? Maybe he left it horizontally, maybe that's negligence, right? I don't understand. No investigation. You don't know what the visor is made of. You didn't bother to take a picture of the cab, and you didn't bother to find out who used the cab last and what his experience with the visor was.
Well, there are pictures of the cab, Your Honor. They were not attached to the record, and I apologize for that. The train itself, while the cab hadn't been used after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the train itself had been used, but was operated, as I said before, from the actual locomotive engine, which was at the south end of the train. The cab car was at the north end of the train. Because the visor was loose, our contention is it's quite possible that it vibrated down while it was being operated with no one in that cab car.
But, of course, your expert didn't examine it either, did he?
Our expert didn't examine it.
Didn't go into the
He did not because at that point, cab car 8262 was no longer being used as a cab car and effectively was out of service as a cab car and was used
and
strictly
was
as
it destroyed?
No, it was not destroyed. It was being used as a passenger car.
Right. But you couldn't get permission for him to go on it to see? I mean, had they changed the whole interior of the cab so there was no visor left?
My understanding, Your Honor, is that they didn't change it. They just locked it up.
They locked it up.
I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. Mr. Moen?
May it please the Court. My name is Dan Mohan, and I represent Metra in this case. Your Honors, as you know, there are four elements to every FVLA case. Plaintiff must prove them all. Here, the plaintiff has proved one of the elements. The elements, of course, are duty, breach of duty, causation, and foreseeability. Plaintiff has proven duty, which Metra readily admits they had a duty to use ordinary care to provide the plaintiff with a reasonably safe place to work. There is no evidence of a breach of that duty. There is no evidence that the breach of the duty caused...
How did the visor come to be in the heart? I mean, it is dangerous, right?
Because no, it is not, Your Honor. And
it's dark, so you can easily bump your head.
The visor had absolutely no defect to it. It was found to have no defect.
Well, I didn't say, why was it horizontal, right?
I have no idea, Your Honor. The visor was intended to...
The railroad, doesn't it instruct the people using the cab to make sure the visor is up so that the next person who gets in the cab in the dark won't bump his head?
Your Honor, I think if plaintiff had provided that in the record, you would see the distance between the visor and where the engineer sits down is a long distance. I don't want to get into the factual aspect.
I understand. Well, your shyness, the lawyer's shyness about the fact. So how far is his seat from the visor?
It's far enough, Your Honor, that you can't hit your head.
That's right.
You can't hit your head.
How about a number? How far is it?
A particular number of feet. I can't tell you as I sit here exactly the number of feet it is from the seat. It is a distance that the record does indicate, Your Honor, it is not possible to hit an individual's head in a manner that the plaintiff alleges in this case. But again,
is there any evidence that Metro responded to his past complaints about other cab car violence?
There is no evidence of his past complaints other than the fact that he complained about other types of visors, not this type of visor. Many visors are the type of visors that flow with one arm. This particular visor had two fastening devices, and it just went up and down. That's all it could do. It was stationary, and at the time it was examined after the accident, it was in proper working order.
And so his other complaints, were they ever investigated by Metra?
There was never any documentation of any prior complaints, Your Honor, and it had to do with a completely different type of visor in any event.
No, I understand that, but I just wondered if there was any follow-up to his complaints. I know that's the position he took.
There was never any documentation of any complaints in the past. That was only his testimony.
What's the visor made out of?
The visor is made out of a tin-type metal, and we did not investigate exactly what the visor was made out of, Your Honor.
So I can't
tell you what type
you don't
of the
know
alloy
how much,
is.
Or how much it weighed.
It's a tin type of metal.
So is it thin?
Thin tin. With regard to the visor, the court held that the angle of the visor, as it was operating in the way that it was designed to operate, is not a grounds to declare the employer negligent.
Why was the visor horizontal?
I don't know why it was, Your Honor, but I presume that the person that used it at 3 o'clock may have had the sun in their eyes. Just like if you had the sun in your eyes when you took your car home, you may leave the visor just where it is.
Isn't it negligent for the worker to leave the visor horizontal where it
No, it is not, Your Honor. It is not negligent for the visor to be in any position that it's designed to be in, because it was designed to do that, and there is absolutely no regulation.
But if it's dark, you don't want the visor sticking out, right?
Again, Your Honor, the configuration of the cab does not lend itself that you're going to hit your head on the visor if you're walking in and getting in the seat. And I think the evidence in this case is, the factual evidence is that you're not going to hit your head, although I don't feel that we need to argue the factual evidence in this appeal.
When you say you don't need to argue the your principal emphasis is on the result of the inspection of the bolts, is that it?
Your Honor, this is a very heavily regulated industry, the railroad industry, as you well know. The FRA regulates all sorts of things, including locomotive cabs. There is no regulation that this visor was in any way, there is no evidence that this visor in any way violated any regulation. This visor was in compliance with the FRA. There had been no complaints about the visor. There had been no other incidents.
When you say it compliant, is it that nobody worries about visors as a safety hazard, so it doesn't matter whether vibration causes it to slip around or what?
Your Honor, visors are designed to be in various positions. The fact that it's in one position or another position, the lower court held correctly, I believe, was not a grounds to hold that Metro was negligent. There's some speculation by the plaintiff that it might have vibrated down. It might have been left there by the individual that used it last, which is more likely since it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun would probably be down. In any event, the fact that the visor was in a position that it was designed to be, and there's no regulation or rule or anything that says you have to put the visor up or down or sideways.
Let me ask you about the expert, because the expert said that the light switch was inconveniently located. And isn't that enough to create a disputed issue of fact?
It is not, Your Honor. In fact, I'd like to quote the regulation that he's talking about. Okay, what the regulation, that is CFR 229.127, states is that a conveniently located light must be present. Light. And that can be readily turned on and off by the person operating the locomotive so that they can read if they need to. The light, there's been no evidence at all that the light itself was not in a convenient spot so that this individual could read if he wanted to. And the location of the switch, which is what the expert is talking about, it was right next to the person operating the locomotive, which it's required to be under the FRA regulations. Had Metra put the switch next to the door, for example, where the individual would be coming in, that would not be in compliance with the regulation. I submit to the court that if an expert, a hired expert's opinion differs from an FRA regulation that specifically states where the location must be, that the regulation that there's no issue of fact and that the regulation must control.
Is there a regulation about making sure the visor doesn't slip because of vibrations?
There is not a regulation regarding visors, period.
You could imagine a hazard, right? I mean, suppose you're driving along, it's dark, and all of a sudden the visor comes down in front of you.
If the visor could block your vision,
completely, yeah, but it could be a distraction.
I think you're assuming that the visor could block your vision, number one, which it can't. I think you're also assuming that, or maybe you're assuming, I don't want to put words in your mouth, of course, Your Honor, but that it could somehow hit you as you're sitting in the seat. It couldn't.
Well, I wasn't thinking of hitting. I was thinking of whether it could disturb your vision if it suddenly fell.
No. I guess the short answer is no, it could not, because it's designed to be in a place where you can see where you're going. In a locomotive, the windows are very, very large.
It's just a shame we don't have a picture.
A reasonable jury could not find that the defendant in this case behaved carelessly. Your Honors, Metro had a process in place for routinely inspecting the visors, the nuts and bolts, all the appurtenances of a locomotive. Despite counsel's allegations in the briefs that there wasn't such a inspection process, actually what was said by Mr. Sukup was, in the inspection forms, there isn't a specific box that says, I checked all of the nuts and bolts of particular visors. There was ample evidence that indicated that Metra had a process in place for routinely inspecting. More importantly, the visor, including the nuts and bolts, was inspected immediately after this accident and found to be in proper order.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mine. Your time has expired.
Thank you.
Mr. Foley, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
49 CFR 229.45 states, all systems and components on a locomotive shall be free of conditions that endanger the safety of the crew. That's a general provision that would cover a visor in a 90-degree angle. Mr. Mohan argued that perhaps the last engineer that used that visor left it at a 90-degree angle. At a 90-degree angle, it provides no service to the locomotive engineer. It doesn't block the sun. If it's down all the way, it blocks the sun. If it's up all the way, it's out of his way. At a 90-degree angle, as Mr. Coffey testified in his deposition, it provides nothing of any benefit for the engineer. 49 CFR 238.233 says that all sharp edges and corners on a locomotive cab should either be avoided or padded. Now, Mr. Coffey testified that it was a very thin padding around the edge of this visor. Paul Burns, our liability expert.
I don't understand why. I do not understand the factual vacuum here. You think you know what the visor was made of, what it weighed, and how thick this padding was, and what the padding was made out of. Instead of all this loose talk, how thick was the padding?
The padding was described as thin.
Why don't you know how thick it is?
There is a picture of it, but I don't have a specific measurement of the padding.
Was a measurement ever made?
Not to my knowledge, no.
And that photo was part of the record?
I do not believe it was.
It was not submitted?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. The METRA's position that the nuts and the bolts of the visor were inspected following this incident are not borne out by any of the testimony in this case. Mr. Sukup was specifically asked if the nuts and the bolts of that visor were inspected at 10:30 on the morning of June 21st, and his response was he did not know. There is no provision within the system of METRA that provides that nuts and bolts on locomotive engines are inspected or checked, and yet the chief mechanical officer, Richard Sukup, testified that he acknowledges that there's vibration in locomotives and in control cabs, and the vibration can and does vibrate loose nuts,
bolts. Have the bolts on that visor been tightened since the accident?
There's no testimony that they were inspected, tightened, replaced.
Have you done an inspection of it?
No, I have not, Your Honor.
Were you an expert?
He has not.
So what are we talking about? I don't understand.
We're talking about...
No one's ever looked to see whether the bolts were loose.
The plaintiff testified that it was very easy to put back up when he put it back up. He'd operated locomotives for 21 years, and he'd been with METRA since 1982.
Why is that conclusive? Just that it was easy to do?
Because normally they're not easy. Normally there's a certain degree of resistance when you move the visor from position to position. And this one was easy, and he concluded as a result of it being easy that it must have vibrated loose because there was no other reason for it to
so
be
why
in that.
Why didn't you ask to inspect it or inquire from them whether they had tightened the belt bolts or something? What?
In fact, Judge, I did ask if the bolts had been tightened, inspected or tightened at the 10:30 inspection on the 21st, and Richard Sukup, the chief mechanical officer, said he did not know that there was nothing on the inspection report that specifically indicated that the nuts, bolts, or fastening devices had been looked at, inspected, or altered in any way, shape,
or
form.
But your entire evidence that the bolts are loose is that he considered it easy to raise the visor?
Correct.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Foley and Mr. Mohan.